The blood of Christ can cleanse us from all of our sins, as we hear in this comment from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
So no matter what you have done in your life that has made you unclean, there isn't anything that the blood of Jesus can't cleanse you from, if you ask Him.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout.
Jesus came to remove our sins and help us through life. This is an encouraging thought. We're going to continue our series through the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5 with a study we've titled, There's No Generation Gap with Jesus. Even though God is all-powerful, He is still very personal and wants to give you a tender touch of His grace, mercy, and love. We saw a great example of this in His Son Jesus, who, being God, always had compassion for His people. And now as we turn to the 5th chapter of Mark in the New Testament, let's join our teacher, Pastor Mike McIntosh, with a message on God's great love shown to us through His Son.
If you're truly My disciple indeed, Jesus said, I want to be His disciple indeed, then continue in My Word. Should never stop reading His Word, memorizing the verses, looking at the stories, going back over from Genesis to Revelation, and let your heart be developed for the kingdom of God, so that when He calls you and you step out on faith, you're doing it because of His word. So Jesus has this man. And those of you that are daddies would, even if you have a 12-year-old daughter with you right now, a 13-year-old daughter, they think that they're grown and ready to fly. And you're saying just what Jairus says, my little daughter. She's 12 years old. Little daughter would be a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, you'd think, but he calls a 12-year-old, my little daughter. And daddies always have a harder time with the little daughters than they do the boys. The boys get a different kind of discipline sometimes than the girls. But you can see this daddy's heart. So I'd like to paint a picture for you here and let the Holy Spirit just begin talking to you about this man. Have you ever been there where you've been so broken that you just fall flat on your face and you start crying out to God? And you have nowhere to go. Friends don't understand. Parents don't understand. Spouses don't understand. There's something going on in your heart that's bringing you to your face before the Lord. When I was first in San Diego, I always took 2 or 3 shots by myself out to the desert to just pray and read the word and seek direction for the ministry. One night, it was about 11:30, I think it was, and I saw that Billy Graham was going to be on a talk show. I think it was David Frost. And he said, Billy, now he and David, later I found out when I asked Mr. Graham a question about this many years later, David Frost's father was a brother, and he loved Billy. They were close friends. And he'd always tell Billy to pray for my son. He's getting too popular and famous and making money. Pray for my son. So I thought, I want to watch this. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm on the edge of the bed. I'm in my PJ bottoms, and I'm listening. And he says, Billy, you're one of the most famous people in the world. I want to ask you, how do you handle the praise that so many people give you? And he said, well, David, I don't handle the praise. If I handle the praise, then I got to handle the criticisms. And the criticisms usually outweigh the praise. So if I don't take the praise, I don't have to take the criticism. So David kept boring in on Billy, and he says, well, if there was a man that you would accept his praise, who would that man be, and what would the words be that you would accept? And Billy looked right at him, and he says, well, David, that would be my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He would be the man. And the words would be, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then he hung his head down in humility, and the microphone picked up what he said, and he said, not thinking it was being picked up, he said, I'm not sure that's what I'm going to hear, but that's what I live for. And I thought, Billy Graham doesn't know if he's going to hear, well done, good. I fell on my face on the floor right there and started crying. And I remember about 8 years ago or something, I asked him about that scene. It had been in my heart for 30 years, whatever. And instead of telling me what he meant, he went on to tell me the story about David's need for Jesus and the Father. It was like Muhammad Ali. He came to visit Mr. Graham up at Montreat. And Billy at that time had a, he didn't ever drive anywhere, but he had an old 1978 Buick something or other. And he went down to the airport in Nashville to pick up Muhammad Ali. Well, I remember reading about this time that Muhammad Ali's entourage cost him $10,000 a day to have all the people that live in his house and, you know, hang out and spend his money. And so Billy's standing there, and he just had a pair of bell-bottom jeans, a baseball cap, a shirt, and tennis shoes. And when he was waiting and Muhammad Ali walked up, he said, wait here, I'll get your bags. And he stopped and said, Mr. Graham, where's your assistants and your security people? Where's your entourage here? Let them get the bags. Oh, it's just me. I'm picking you up. You're my friend. You're coming to our house. What he didn't know is that Cassius Clay, which is Muhammad Ali's real name, his father called Mr. Graham and said, when Cassius comes to your house, Billy, I beg you, just like this man begging Jesus, I beg you, you'd help him get away from the people that are controlling him. I'll be praying for you, Billy. So he gets the bag and goes to the car and he says, what kind of car is this? Said, oh, this is my car. You drive an old Buick? And he said, well, I don't usually drive much, but I don't need anything new or fancy. So he drives him up there. He was supposed to spend 2 days and two nights and ask Billy any question he wanted about God, Jesus, the Bible, and in relationship to his present faith. He left after just a few hours, a few short hours, because he couldn't take the humility. He said, I've got to go. I can't stay. To be like that, what a gift. To be so transparent that people can look through you and see that you're truly the real deal for the Lord. And they know they can come to you. And they know that you have faith. That's where we want to be. Not living for self, but living for one another. That your daughter's near death, that somebody call you up and say, hey, would you pray for us right now? We're losing our faith. Our son is dying right now. Our daughter's dying. And that you're not so consumed with self, you say, I'll be right over. Or I'll pray for you right now. That's what's so important, is that we actually pick up our cross daily, continue in his word, and follow after him. And he's going to lead us to people that need his love, his forgiveness, his kindness, his understanding, and that you will be able to take what he's done for you inside of your heart and share it with somebody else. So this daddy, he's brokenhearted. I don't think there's a daddy in this room or listening or watching that wouldn't be brokenhearted if your 12-year-old, your little girl, were near death. So he begged him, my daughter lies to the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, because he's seen it done before, that she may be healed and she will live. If you come into her life, she will live. So Jesus went with him. And a great multitude followed him, and they crowded around him. They thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, it's almost like the old cars. You used to have three gears on the column. You go down to low gear and then up to second gear and down to third gear. It's like he went from low to second. We're going to this man's house whose little daughter is dying, and then Mark says, there's this woman. Another story just pops in. But the way the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, juxtaposed these two stories is very important, I think. Look what happens here. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. You can go from Genesis all the way through the book of Acts, and you'll see this term, a certain man. This is one of the only times you see a certain woman, but it's in there more than once. God has, quote unquote, certain men and certain women that come into our lives to draw us closer to Jesus. And we don't know if it's an angel. He said, don't forget to entertain strangers, because you may be entertaining angels unaware. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you were entertaining a stranger and they look like you or me, they look like a person, you would think they're a person. But if they walked up to you with a white robe and a halo over the head and big wings on the side, you say, ha-ha, you're an angel. So you don't know that you may unawares have an angel sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you. Just pat them on the back, see if there's any wings. You'll find out if they are. So here's this certain woman. We have no background sketch at all. She's just one of the multitude. And a lot of people, when there's a multitude, are hiding in the multitude. They're shy, they're bashful, they are maybe emotionally beaten down as children or as adults. But just she's all by herself. There's no husband, there's no uncle, there's no grandfather, there's no father, there's no big son or brother. She's by herself. So the dad is saying, let's move it on to my house, please. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes. That's really important. Not every translation like the New King James has, touch his clothes. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. I shall be made well. Well, let's stop and zero in on this crowd now. We've heard the story. We understand that the daddy's brokenhearted. He's going off. He's very popular. He's the leader of the synagogue. They're walking down the road, and a certain woman comes on the scene, and we see her. And she says to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch his clothes. Some of your translations, which is good, is the hem of his garment. Now, the rabbi, the teacher's garment, at the edge of his robe, had these little blue tassels that were hanging down around the edges, which you'd look at him coming, you realize, well, that's a rabbi, that's a teacher. Some commentators believe when she reached out to touch the hem of his garment, she grabbed one of those tassels, which I find interesting because the tassel represents that he's a teacher of God's word. And she's going to get the strength of faith just reaching out and grabbing the hem. She doesn't need to talk to him like Jairus did. Doesn't need to tell him anything. If I can just get close enough in this crowd, I know I can be healed just by touching his clothes. That's how sensitive her faith is. Now watch what happens here. She had suffered many things from many physicians, which if you're a doctor, we're sorry to see that here for you, I guess, but you are practicing medicine. Many people have had problems that didn't get any better. She spent all the money that she had, all the money in 12 years, all the money that she had. We have no idea if she has a husband or if this was an inheritance or how she got her money, but every penny, every shekel was given to doctors, and she was no better. But actually, she rather grew worse. Now, some people get sick, and the doctors say, well, let's do this, let's do that. And they don't get better, they get worse. They become experimented with, let's try this drug, let's try that. When she heard about Jesus, and this is why it's so important you and I are telling people about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came from behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, the hem of his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And here's the word we started with the very first Sunday night. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of this affliction. And Jesus, there's the word again, immediately, knowing in himself that dunamis, power, had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Here's why this is so important, this story, before we go any further, is here. If you were to go to the Old Testament and you would read when a person is unclean, the Bible teaches the early Jewish people that if a woman were to bleed beyond her normal time every month, every day that she would be bleeding, she would be deemed unclean. And if she were unclean, you and I could not go visit her at her house and sit down on the sofa, because now we'd be unclean. We could not have tea with her because we've got her unclean cup and saucer. We couldn't break bread with her and eat because she's unclean and everything she touches is unclean. Now, we just heard about a guy that had so many demons when they were cast out, they killed 2,000 pigs. And this man didn't have a mommy, a daddy, a brother, a sister, or uncle, or cousin, psychiatrist, psychologist, hypnotist, or anybody. He was naked, totally possessed, demons ripping the chains off of him, and he was living in the graveyard. He was totally unclean being around the dead. And yet, when he saw Jesus, he ran to him and fell at his feet. So no matter what you have done in your life that has made you unclean, there isn't anything that the blood of Jesus can't cleanse you from, if you ask him. You don't want to die in your sins. So here's this woman, just like this demonic man. Let's just use the word loneliness. She hasn't been hugged in over 12 years. Nobody's put an arm around her shoulder, wished her happy birthday or happy Hanukkah. Nobody's said cheers and had a cup of wine with her. She hasn't been kissed. She hasn't had anybody hold her hand and walk by the Sea of Galilee as she watches the sun rise up. She's had no intimate talk back and forth with anybody for 12 years. Can you imagine how lonely this lady is? How tormented that man was, and how brokenhearted the daddy is. This is what Jesus is an expert at. I see some of your faces, and we're getting to know each other after the services. And it would blow your minds if I told you 20 stories that I know that you don't know about people sitting around you that they've entrusted me with. It tells me that Jesus on Sunday nights is touching people's souls right here, and he's stirring things up. From a couple that's been married 3 months to a couple that's been married 33 years. Both of them, couples, both have separate things they need prayer for. There isn't anyone here that Jesus wouldn't just reach out in heaven right now and touch you and make everything beyond what you could expect. But it's our lack of faith that hinders him. I've always found that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I found it be true wherever I've been, is a gentleman. He has never, ever forced me to do anything. He's never twisted my arm. He's never coerced me. He's never said, if you don't do this, ever. I've always recognized him as a gentleman. And gentleness in Galatians 5, verse 21, I believe it is a fruit of the Spirit, of love. He's a gentleman. And being a father, I know that I usually know more than my kids know, if it's a subject matter they're good at. But I mean, in general, to be a good dad, you have to be seeing beyond your family and think of all the things that you got to protect these little sheep, no matter how old they get to be. So now you got the brokenhearted daddy, you got the lonely demon-possessed man, and now just a certain woman, like any woman sitting in here, no, nothing about her. Don't have a driver's license. Don't know how tall, how short, how much she weighs, what color her hair is, what color her eyes. She's just somebody that's crushed. Have you ever been crushed? The whole world's being crushed right now. I will not be surprised if the newspapers tomorrow say, a man has come with a peace plan. Barry Stagner, last Thursday on World News Briefing, shared an article that there is a peace plan beyond anything that has ever been laid out before for the Middle East. Somebody's behind the scene with this peace and safety. I would not be surprised if the Lord came tonight at 7 o'clock straight up at 7:01 if we were all in heaven. I'd be happy if we're all in heaven. He's coming. But doesn't it break your heart to know that there are men like this guy without any family, living alone, tormented, maybe smoking a crack pipe, two houses away from here? Or there's a woman that apparently she didn't even have a home. She just gets up and says, if I can just touch his clothes. Now, this is really sweet of her. Because many times when people are in pain or anguish, I've seen it from the pastoral view. I've seen it from hospital visitations. I've seen it from being a reserve police officer. I've seen it from being a friend. When things get really rough, people do things that could cause harm to themselves or other people. She is so sweet. She knows she's unclean by the law. But she's having faith that Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And if she touches him, he would be unclean. Isn't that a subtle thing? I just need to, nobody, I don't want anybody to see this. She came in from behind him. They're all looking at his face and yelling, and she's reaching down, and nobody could say that unclean woman touched him. And look at the response of Jesus. Somebody touched my clothes. He felt power go out from him. A multitude is bumping into him. And look at these smart aleck, Larry, Curly, and Moe, disciples of his. Immediately the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately, Jesus, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd, and he said, he stops. Every word he says, everybody wants to hear. Who touched my clothes? Now look at the response. These are the guys that couldn't even make it in the boat through the storm. But his disciples said to him, now this is a put down, really. You see the multitude thronging about you, and you say, who touched me? I mean, that's really derogatory. That's talking down to him, condescending. It just shows who we are until we grow up, I guess. You say, who touched me? He didn't say, who touched me. He said, who touched my clothes? Don't get bitter at the church. I don't go to church anymore because, and they give you some, I got hurt because so-and-so said some. That's child stuff. Jesus is the one that you're loving. The church is just other people like you that are saved by grace. Oh, that pastor, I hate that pastor. He da-da-da-da. I'm never going to ever again go to any church. That's a cop-out. Jesus is much more sensitive than his disciples. What do you mean, who touched me? He didn't say who touched me. He was so sensitive, he knew that that woman had touched the hem of his garment. She was focused on what she was after. She reached up, she got it, and it was so powerful that her faith was released. That the word power, dunamis, is the same one in Acts where Jesus said, wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. Dunamis. That's the word we get our English word dynamite from, or dynamo, like at a dam that's got the water going over and it's turning the hydroelectric dynamos that are going to send electricity out. You have that power available to you. You shall receive dunamis once the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you can be walking down the street and somebody can come to you and say, could you pray for me? And dunamis can go out from you. Oh, that doesn't make you a big shot or a big wheel. It's just something you and I have been given by God that we can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. You only hold yourself back from the things of the Lord. And he has faith upon faith upon faith, so many dimensions that you could go to with him. Trust him, and you'll be overwhelmed at his beauty. And you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, now not just some woman, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth.
I'm afraid we're going to need to make this our stopping point for today, so plan on being with us for the Friday broadcast of CNV when we'll hear the conclusion to our lesson, There's No Generation Gap with Jesus, from Mark chapter 5 with Mike McIntosh. We need to always remember God's great love for all of us and his will to heal us according to his purpose. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com, and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Join us tomorrow as we continue through the Gospel of Mark with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.